Good morning.
Good morning.
There are two holidays that are celebrated each year on December 25th. The first holiday is the Christian celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. On this day, we celebrate the arrival of the person whom we believe to be our Savior. The second holiday that's celebrated on December 25th is the non-Christian celebration of the innate goodness within humanity. On this day, people celebrate the fact that human beings are good, or at the very least, they have the opportunity to be good. The culture in which we live in has attempted to merge these two holidays into one Christmas. They've attempted to take two distinct Christmases and combine them into one, a universal holiday in which all people across the world can equally celebrate. The problem is, though, is that no matter what people may think or say, no matter how hard they may try, these two holidays are impossible to merge together. It's impossible to create one unified Christmas because the two stories which these holidays are founded upon, the reasons why we celebrate these two Christmases, are completely incompatible. They couldn't be any more different. You see, for the non-Christian celebration of Christmas, people celebrate because they believe that humanity is good. The non-Christian Christmas is founded upon this one simple notion: be good for goodness' sake. It's a season or a time in which we're all called to be good, to be full of cheer, to be charitable, to love one another. We're to be filled with this supernatural sense of Christmas joy or Christmas cheer. And so people gather together their families and their friends. They give each other gifts. They have meals. They sing songs, decorate their homes. Just watch any Hallmark movie, and you'll see the main premise to be there is some character who is good. It's this noble, selfless individual. And then there's some Scrooge, this evil, selfless human being. And throughout the course of the movie, you will see this noble, selfless person bring the Scrooge to a place of joy and selflessness. Every Christmas movie is essentially the story of the Grinch who stole Christmas. A Scrooge or a Grinch who's full of selfishness, becoming good. You see, the story of the non-Christian Christmas is founded upon this principle that mankind, humanity, is good, and we can be good, and we reject those who are selfish, we reject the Scrooges and the Grinches of the world. The non-Christian Christmas is a time where we escape from the evil that exists in this world. We forget about it, and instead we focus on the goodness of humanity. This is completely incompatible with the Christian Christmas. Because while the non-Christian Christmas says we as human beings are good and we can be good, the Christian Christmas actually says we're not good. You see, for Christians, the story of Christmas, it doesn't start in the New Testament. It doesn't start in the Gospels with the arrival of Jesus. For Christians, the Christmas story starts in Genesis, with one of the main beginnings being Genesis chapter 3 and the fall of man. You see, we as Christians believe that God made us, but we quickly rejected him. We sinned against him. And because we have sinned, we know that we are dead in our sin. We've become slaves to it. As Christians, we believe that no one is righteous, not even one. We believe that we're dead in our sin. We believe that we're slaves. As Christians, we believe that we aren't good. That we can't be good, no matter how hard we may try, no matter what works we try to accomplish, no amount of charitable giving will make us good because we are sinful people. This is what we as Christians believe. Because we are dead in our sin, because we are slaves to it, we need an outside force to save us. We need a savior. We need someone to redeem us and to restore us. And we see in the Bible that even when mankind first rejects this God, even when mankind first sins against him, that God promises mankind that there will be an offspring who will defeat sin once and for all. Even in the pronouncement of the curse upon humanity, God makes the promise that there will be a Savior, there will be an offspring who will come later, who will bring redemption and restoration. We as Christians, we believe that this prophecy is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's that story that we celebrate on December 25th. And it's that story we're going to be reading this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. If not, words will be right here on the screen. This is Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who is now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them, the word of the Lord. This was the message that the angels brought. Today, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born. You see, from the very beginning of the fall of man, for thousands of years, people had been waiting for a Savior to come and redeem them and to restore them. For thousands of years, people had been waiting for this offspring who would come and defeat sin. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy had been said about a coming Messiah. And so for thousands of years, people had been waiting and waiting and waiting. But the message of the angels is different. It's different in the sense that the angel said, "Today a Savior has come. You don't have to wait anymore. Go and find him. Go search for him." Instead of the thousands of years of waiting, the angels declared that that moment had finally come. Don't wait any longer. He's here. He has come. Right now. Today. This whole notion of a Savior being present today is all throughout the Gospel of Luke. You see, in the Gospel of Luke, salvation isn't something that's coming. Salvation is something that's here. It's immediate. It's available. It's present. We see in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, "Today, this prophecy has been fulfilled." In Luke chapter 19, Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come upon this house." Even on the cross, Jesus looks to his side and says to a thief, "You will be in paradise with me today." In the Gospel of Luke, salvation is not something that's coming. It's not something you'll get later. In the Gospel of Luke, salvation is something that is here. It is present. It is immediately available. In the Gospel of Luke, you can be saved today. And that's what we as Christians believe. We believe that we are saved by this Jesus. that this Jesus has come. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He died a death on a cross so that we might be forgiven of our sins, and 3 days later, he was risen from the dead. We believe this Jesus has come, and we believe that we are saved today. We are not waiting for a Savior. We look back and see he's already come. And that offer of salvation, that opportunity, is available to us right here, right now. Salvation is not something we're waiting for. It's something that we can have right now, today. This is what we as Christians believe. And this is why we celebrate on December 25th. We believe this message of the angels, just as the shepherds did. The shepherds believed this. They believed that a Savior had come, that thousands of years of waiting had finally culminated in the birth of this baby. They believed that they didn't need to wait any longer, and that's what prompted them to abandon their flocks and to run into town. In this moment, they gave up everything to find the Savior that the whole world had been waiting for. This is what they believed. The shepherds didn't go searching for some ordinary boy. Since the beginning of time, countless people have been born. They were born ordinary births, they lived ordinary lives, and died ordinary deaths. But the shepherds did not go to find an ordinary boy. They did not abandon everything just for some other ordinary person. They believed that this boy they saw lying in a manger was indeed the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. When the shepherds ran into town, they believed that this baby they would find was Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what we as Christians believe. We do not celebrate Christmas to honor some ordinary person. Our celebration of Christmas is not like President's Day or Martin Luther King Day or Columbus Day. We do not just honor someone. We do not just honor some ordinary person who lived an ordinary life and died an ordinary death. When we celebrate Christmas as Christians, we are celebrating the arrival of God. As Christians, we believe that this baby, this Jesus, is God in the flesh. We believe that this God who created the universe, who made us, this God who knit us together in our mother's wombs, this God who knew us before we were ever conceived, this God who is in complete control over all of creation, this God decided to take on flesh. This God decided to come to earth as a baby, to be with us and to be like us. That is what we believe. We believe that this God, who had no body, who could not be hurt, who could not be killed, who could not get sick, decided to craft for himself a body for the sole purpose of being beaten and mocked and killed. What kind of God does that? What kind of God lowers themselves to the status of a slave? This kind of God who would get on his knees to wash his disciples' feet. This is who we believe Jesus is. We believe he is our God. We believe he is our Savior. This is not some ordinary boy. This is not some ordinary holiday. This is a celebration of the living God becoming like us, to be with us, and to die for us so that we might be saved. This right here is the conflict. This is the incompatibility between these two stories of Christmas. The Christian believes that they are not good, that they are sinful, that there is nothing they can do to be rid of their sin. And so they need a Savior. And on December 25th, we celebrate the arrival of the Savior. But the non-Christian celebrates their own goodness. They celebrate that they believe they have the opportunity to be good. They celebrate the good people in their lives and make an effort to be even more charitable and to be more filled with joy and to be more good during this time. These two holidays do not match up. They can't be merged together. The Christian and the non-Christian may celebrate in the same way. The Christian and the non-Christian might throw a party for their family and friends. The Christian and non-Christian might hold a big dinner. The Christian and the non-Christian might buy each other gifts. The Christian and the non-Christian might sing the same songs. The Christian and the non-Christian might decorate their homes in the same way. The Christian and the non-Christian might get a tree. They might put ornaments on it. They might put lights up. But they cannot celebrate the same holiday. Because the reason that the Christian celebrates is because they believe they need a Savior and they believe that Savior has come. And the non-Christian is celebrating their own perceived goodness. It's the difference between humanism and the belief in this God. They're completely incompatible. The Christian and the non-Christian might even sit at the same table, eat the same meal with each other, sit at the same tree giving gifts, but they cannot celebrate the same holiday. It's impossible. Because there are two conflicting stories, two completely different reasons why they celebrate. And that's where we come to today. As we are living in a culture that tries to convince us that we are all celebrating the same holiday. It has the same name. It takes place on the same day. We do the same things. And sometimes we buy into that lie. Sometimes we get caught up in the non-Christian Christmas and we celebrate the goodness of humanity, or we focus on what we do to celebrate instead of the reason why we celebrate. But I urge you to not trade this story. Do not trade the Christian Christmas for the other holiday. Because as Christians, we believe that we've been redeemed and restored and saved. As Christians, we believe that we have life in this Jesus. As Christians, we believe this is the only thing that matters. This is it. This baby boy, this Savior. This is the only thing that matters. It is the most important thing. But the non-Christian does not. And so as Christians, we look at the non-Christians and we just see an empty celebration. We see something that's hollow, that's not fulfilling, that's not worthwhile. This is what is at stake. So I urge you to not trade this story for the other. Don't give it up. My question for you this morning is, why will you celebrate on December 25th? Why are you going to give others presents? Why are you going to have a dinner? Why are you going to sing songs? Why are you going to decorate? Why are you going to celebrate? Which holiday are you going to have? Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for this time where we can gather together, and as one family of believers, we can come and we can worship you and we can pray and we can take communion. We thank you for the opportunity to do all of these things, and we thank you for how good you are, that you in your mercy sent your Son to be our Savior. Lord, we ask that you would help us to stay focused on you, that we would not forget this story, but instead rejoice in the story every single day of our lives. That we would not trade this story for anything else, but hold firmly to it as the most important thing in our lives. We love you and we thank you. And it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.